Welcome to the Finding Favorites podcast, where we explore your favorite things without using an algorithm. Here's your host, Leah Jones.
Hello and welcome to Finding Favorites. I'm your host, Leah Jones, and this is the podcast where we talk about people's favorite things and get recommendations without using an algorithm. Keep going, cowboy. So this is just my second episode with no guests because I did not have the emotional space to edit this week. And I've got two great interviews banked. Anna Tarkov explaining to me where the massive obsession with Formula One racing came from during COVID. So Anna Tarkov will be my guest soon. We already talked. I'll edit it this week, so you'll hear it soon. And then I also talk to Tim Barnes, who is a comedian and writer, worked on The Tonight Show, worked on at Nickelodeon, all sorts of great projects. So that is also banked. But it's just been a heck of a weekend here in the Finding Favorites house. Where are you going, cowboy? So I know that lots of people who listen are my friends and are on my caring bridge or on my Facebook. But yesterday it was time to say goodbye to my cat, Spidey. Spidey has been my cat for over 20 years. I have edited out a lot of the times he's interrupted me on this podcast, but not all of the times he interrupted me on this podcast. Hey, baby. So one last time, Spidey's story is that I was a waitress at a burger joint in Durango, Colorado in 2001 to 2002. And Spidey was born on the patio. There was Mama Cat, who lived kind of like in the bushes and the across the fence from the patio. Nobody could ever catch Mama Cat. She was feral. She had litters every few months. And so Spidey's litter had three kittens in it, Orangey, Peachy, and Blackie. And he was Peachy, and he is just the kitten I was able to catch. Mama Cat lived on burgers that she stole from people or that they fed her on the patio, and her kittens were feral kittens that also learned how to steal food. So I took Spidey home, and in like September, October 2001, and he has been my cat ever since. He never got over the food insecurity he had as a kitten, and stole my food for the last 20 years. For 20 years, I have been battling Spidey for every bite of food I put in my mouth. Until like the last year when I finally started putting him away in a bedroom while I ate, just because he got so old that I felt bad throwing him gently off the table. Like I couldn't get rid of him I couldn't just like toss him off. And so I started putting him in the bedroom while we ate dinner just in the last year or so. So some of Spidey's, when Spidey was a kitten and I lived with my roommate Becca on Florida Road in Durango, did we have a dining room table? We did, but I had cooked a chicken breast and I was sitting on the couch. I had my food on the coffee table, and Spidey, still very small, months old, because I got him in September, October 2001, and I left Durango in May of 2002. So he didn't even turn a year old until we got to Chicago. He came up between my legs, grabbed the chicken breast in his little claws, and ran like a football player with it under his front arm into my bedroom, under the bed, with a whole chicken breast. And that kind of explained my whole life with Spidey. When I moved to Chicago. He was also like a carb freak. He loved bread. And I would have to keep bread in the not in the refrigerator, but like in the microwave, on top of the fridge. If I didn't think about it, if I left bread on a counter, on a table, inevitably there would be a corner bit like through the plastic, taking bread out. But the best bread stealing story was I moved to Chicago to pursue stand-up comedy in May of 2002 and found a roommate on roommates.com, Matt Rudy. And I was like staying the end of a sublet. I was his roommate after college had come and then left Chicago. So we were in a coach house on Paulina. And I came here with like literally $1,000 in my bank account so I could pay my like first month's rent, which was $500 at the time. I mean, I brought cinder blocks with me from Colorado, which my sister just looked at me when she opened the U-Haul and saw that I had moved cinder blocks across the country. And she was like, you know, they sell these here, right? And I was like, right, but these were free. And they're good cinder blocks. So that's sort of my mentality when I get to Chicago. I start going to open mics immediately. And I also start trying to find a job. Because I came without a job. And one of the things I did on my roommate's computer, because I did not have a computer yet, was I updated my alumni information with the company that I studied abroad through, with IES. And I got like this email back from the form that just felt like it wasn't automated. It felt like it was a real person. And I replied to that person and I said, hey, if you're looking for Aaliyah Jones, here's my resume. I just moved to town. I've done office work. I've done college student personnel. I was a hall director. And they called me and said, we have a maternity leave that needs coverage if you want to come in for an interview. So I started at IES as a temp covering a maternity leave. So by the time I get to that first day of work, my $1,000 is starting to run out. And so I went to the Jewel. I bought packs of Carl Budding, turkey meat, chicken slices, all that good stuff. And I bought like a 5-pack of Kaiser rolls. So I was like, okay, I have lunch for the week. I cannot afford to go eat downtown lunch. I don't even know what that means. And my roommate at the time, I think, worked at a law office. So he got up and went to work. I get up, I go to pack my lunch, and I call him on his cell phone because we can't text yet. And I'm like, dude, what did you do with my bread? Like, where are my rolls? And he was like, Leah, I did not do anything with your rolls. And I'm like, but they're gone. They're like missing. Where could they be? Fast forward to the end of that sublease. So it was just like a May to September, maybe, you know, just the last few months of his lease. I moved my futon, which I had gotten at Kmart when the Kmart used to be at Ashland in Milwaukee. And find under my bed all the Kaiser rolls that were missing and other pieces of bread that had gone missing over the 4 months my roommate and I lived together. I suspect he did not believe me when I said I wasn't eating his food, but Spidey was stealing food and hoarding it under my bed for the time when I maybe forgot to feed him. So that was like truly Spidey. My whole life with him was him stealing food. You could not put a chicken bone deep enough into the garbage can that he couldn't get it out. And I maybe got too used to like waking up with chicken bones in my bed. It's not like a great look, but you know, he was taking care of me, making sure that, like, I had something for breakfast, too. And it was never a mouse or like it was never a rodent in my bed. It was just chicken bones, except for the one time when it was a pigeon. After I moved to this apartment in Ravenswood, so I worked there for 2 years. I worked with them in London, which was the first time I was really separated from Spidey. And they also bring students to Chicago to study abroad in the summer. So they're studying in America. And I was hosting a family dinner so they could all experience a family dinner. And I had three students, I think all were from Ecuador, coming for dinner. Some of my friends were coming. I was cooking chicken. We were just having like a family dinner, but like with my friends. And I have the back door open and we're cooking. And then I hear some commotion and I turn around and Spidey, who at this point is at least 15 years old, because I've only been in this apartment for 5 years and he was 20, he was almost 21. He has lost most of his teeth at this point because he was feral. When he was probably like 3 years old, I had to have a lot of his teeth removed. And he has caught a pigeon in the backyard and brought it into the apartment. This is the only bird he ever caught, and he did not kill it. I was able to isolate it and close the back porch up so that my guests didn't know there was a pigeon trapped behind the litter boxes. And then later that night, my friend Jocelyn came over and helped me call the bird rescue people, who have a 24-hour hotline, but they just forward it to different volunteers' phones. And so when you call them at 11 p.m. after dinner party on, like, say, a Wednesday night, they're not thrilled to hear from you. But we were able to save that pigeon. I wrapped it in a napkin. I put it in a box. And I commuted with it on the metro the next day and took it to the bird rescue folks. And then while Spidey and Cowboy have continued to have enrichment time in the yard, they did not have unsupervised enrichment time in the yard after that. So in the last few weeks, in April, I had to take Spidey to the ER for fluids and an enema, and he just started this week exhibiting the same signs that he was constipated, but he was still eating. And then I noticed he wasn't drinking and he was really straining to go. He just was like, everything was compacted. He couldn't get it out. I tried massaging his belly. I had tried giving him Miralax, but I would just watch him eat around it. So on Thursday night, Wednesday and Thursday night, you know, I'd like take him to bed, so he would like at least start the evening sleeping in the bed with me, where he did every night for 20 years. And but then he would like sneak off and go to his cat bed at some point in the middle of the night. So on Wednesday, I tried to make an appointment with the cat hospice people, and like their form didn't work. On Thursday, I called them and I got an appointment with a vet for Friday for an intake. And they agreed that he needed fluids. He probably needed another enema. But given their nursing status, that I was best taking him to the ER. So I took him to the really wonderful people at Blue Pearl Hospital in Skokie. On Dempster on Friday evening. And they were like, he's so constipated and so incredibly dehydrated. At this point, his skin was really there. Just he hadn't had water in a day that I hadn't seen him drink. So they were like, he's frail. He needs to spend the night. And I was like, great, whatever it costs. And at this point, I know that euthanasia is in his future. And that it's for sure our last summer together. But all the vets at this point thought, get some fluids in him, get his system moving, and he might like be okay again for a few weeks, maybe a few months. And so they gave him fluids overnight. They got things moving. But then his stool was black and tarry, which meant there was internal bleeding. And so I had plans to meet my sister and go with my friends Jocelyn and Jasmine to the Mahomet Soda Fest. And we arrived at the Soda Fest because when I had talked to the vet in the morning, she was like, here's the plan for the day. You know, like, we'll keep you in the loop. But at that point, it still seemed like he was probably going to come home that night. And then I would arrange for home euthanasia at home. And as soon as we pulled into the Soda Festival in Mahomet, the vet called literally the minute we were parking to say he's fading and he's not going to, like, this is it. When can you get here? And I was, at that point, 3 hours away from Chicago. So we took a break. We went to the festival. My sister, unfortunately, was sick, so she wasn't there. Mahomet Soda Fest, I'm looking forward to going back next year because it really was, like, a great small-town festival. And I came back with a case of craft soda. So then we stayed for like an hour and then drove back to Chicago, went straight to the vet. And Jasmine has been Spidey's cat sitter for, gosh, maybe 10 years. Maybe not that long, but like almost as long as I've known Jasmine. She has been a meowie Poppins and is taking care of Spidey and Cowboy. So she was with me, my friend Jocelyn, who's the co-host of Candy Chat Chicago, and just one of my best friends. They're two of my closest friends. Were with me, so I went in and I saw him, and then I texted them and said if they wanted to come in and say goodbye, they could. Blue Pearl has this, like, beautiful, I don't know, this really lovely room where they let people have their last minutes with their pet. And they really were just like, you can have as much time as you want with him. So I got to sit with him. He already had an IV in from all the care in the day before. So I got to give him scritches and hold his paw. And then Jocelyn and Jasmine came in and they got to say goodbye to him. And then the vet came in and administered the anesthesia and then whatever the medicine is that they use for euthanasia. I don't remember. But the vet, Dr. Marianne, was the kindest soul. She really, you could tell she loves old kitties. She said he was a gentleman, that he was so sweet, and he realized that she was doing what she was doing to help him, and he tried to, he was a good patient, and she got him cleaned out, so he wasn't constipated at the end, so he was comfortable, he had pain meds, he was hydrated, and I just held him and cried, but I have long said this to friends, and who have had to make the same decision, that one of the gifts we have as the human caretakers of animals is the gift of giving them a good and peaceful end of life. And I had already signed a DNR for Spidey. He was so frail and so tiny. He was only 2.1 kilograms at the end. It's a gift that we can give them to have a good end of life. And I really felt like he just needed to be out of the house like psychically, that if he was, he knew I was giving him the care he needed to cross over, and it was, he got old. He was almost 21. He was an old cat, but he wasn't like an old frail cat until the last 6 months or so. A couple days ago, he just tried to jump up on the toilet to come and talk to me while I was brushing my teeth, and he slipped off the toilet. And for me, the moment that I knew it was time was I took the cats in the yard while I was waiting to do the Zoom intake with the hospice vet. And he just sat on a step. He didn't come in the yard. And then he got up and he went down to the cold cement by our basement door. And he laid down in a way to like almost like ice his belly. And that's just the moment I knew that he was done, that it was soon. And it became a question of just how to make him comfortable in his final days or weeks. So there's no episode today. There's no interview today because I don't have it in me. Also because there was no intro last week of last week's great episode with Rob Schulte, because I've also been dealing with more post-cancer stuff, which is that I have a weakness in my back and in my legs that my oncologist doesn't usually see with Taxol, which is the chemotherapy I was on. And so she had me start going down a path of investigating whether or not I have multiple sclerosis. You know, it was when I was getting diagnosed with breast cancer last summer, we veered off into the world of, does Leah already have metastasized cancer? And it was diagnosed as sarcoidosis. And then this time I did a spinal MRI that did not confirm or deny MS, that made the radiologist say, hey, is there more cancer here? Or can Leah just not stay still in an MRI machine? So on Friday, also part of why getting Spidey to the vet was delayed was because on Friday morning, I had a bone scan to see if I have more cancer or if I just can't stay still in an MRI. And then in the coming weeks, I have a lumbar puncture, which is the primary way that you can test, can like really get a definitive confirmation of MS. I have something called evoked potential, which is seeing how long it takes to get new like electrical signals from your hands and feet to your brain. Like, is there a traffic jam in your spine? I have another brain MRI. I have, of course, an infusion. Every 3 weeks I go to the infusion center as I continue my immunotherapy for breast cancer. So that's just all really been a lot. If it is multiple sclerosis, I guess 12% of people with uveitis go on to develop MS. And I am now someone my doctors call, they're like, well, for somebody with such a complex medical history, and in my head, I just think I've had a few episodes. Had, you know, uveitis got diagnosed in Israel, but it's been well managed the last 6 years. So I've got that. And then I had my hysterectomy, which again, I think is like isolated. And now the breast cancer and sarcoidosis and possible MS. A friend of mine just suggested maybe it's neurosarcoidosis. So I guess I'm also coming to terms with the fact that I have a more complex medical situation than a cut and dry medical situation that I thought I had. So that's just why there's not an episode this week. And I'm not apologizing for it. I think anyone who listens understands. But I also wanted to fill everybody in. I mean, otherwise, like, I'm looking forward to a really nice summer. I'm going home this week to my parents' house for my mom's hip replacement. But the hip replacement, she's got the best doctor in Indiana, and a hip replacement is the easiest of the joint replacements, which with a much better, like, it might be outpatient, and there's not even any physical therapy, because they find that people have better outcomes when they just kind of putter around their homes instead of going to PT. So I'll see my parents this week. I'll start dreaming of a pair of kittens to get to keep Cowboy company, because he's hasn't lived alone, and I haven't had kittens in over 20 years, so I'm starting to think about kittens. And then I moved my Israel trip from July to September, just to give me more space with healthcare stuff, more time to do all these tests this summer, and then a little bit more time to get strong to go to Israel. So we'll be back next week. Maybe even this week when I'm at my parents, I'll edit Anna's and sneak it in to this week. So that's my goal. But we'll have Anna Tarkov talking about Formula One racing. We will have Tim Barnes talking about behind the scenes, director's cuts, and DVD extras. And we will keep talking to people about their favorite things and getting recommendations without using an algorithm. Cuddle your cats and your pets and your rabbits and your dogs and your snakes and your rats, ferrets, you know, cuddle your animals tight. And yeah, and get your booster shots. Wear your mask, wash your hands, because COVID is not gone, no matter what the lack of public health directives may tell you. So with that, have a good week. Keep enjoying your favorite things, and I will see you soon.
Thank you for listening to Finding Favorites with Leah Jones. Please make sure to subscribe and drop us a 5-star review on iTunes. Now, go out and enjoy your favorite things.